What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you today. In the wake of the NBA Finals loss by the Warriors, we're going to go back and look at how they got to this point. And a massive trade in the NBA happened just this weekend. One that, I don't know, I'm sure some saw coming for a long time. Some thought it was in doubt, but it happened. Anthony Davis is now a Los Angeles Laker. We're going to talk about how that will affect the Warriors moving forward. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What is happening? Hope you all had a great Father's Day. Shout out to all the dads out there, specifically my dad, though. Love you. And I'm glad you all went and got your dad's Untuckit shirts for Father's Day. They were a great Father's Day idea. Glad you all took my advice. Their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA to get 20% off. So I'm glad you all got your dad's Untuckit shirts and that you took advantage of the 20% off. Shout out all the dads. Happy Father's Day. So, the Warriors lose in the NBA Finals. I know it hurts, but you know, it has to be mentioned because they did. And one thing I wanted to do is look back on how they got to this point. And not in the positive way, not in the, oh, they got KD and they gelled and, you know, that's how they made it to this many finals and won these finals and blah, blah, blah. Because they, I mean, I already said it, they lost. And there's reasons why they lost. And I don't want to just say, oh, it's Bob Myers' fault. But there's a amount of blame that he needs to take because the roster construction was poor. It was not good. And I'll say it like this immediately. You don't plan on injuries, but at the same time, you have to, I don't know, you kind of have to plan on them. I know that sounds stupid, but you have to be aware of them. It's a risk that they injuries happen. And when they do happen, you need better pieces behind your stars, behind your starters to, you know, hopefully pick up the slack. Big problem was they didn't have that. And on top of that, I will say also, even though I'm about to look at all the mistakes, with a healthy Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, I think the Warriors win the finals. So if they were healthy and they end up winning another championship, you know, we would look at the bench and say, yeah, they weren't great, but it still worked. But the bottom line is there were injuries and you had to rely on the bench more, and so it didn't work. We do tend to play the result, and fair or not, that's just how it goes. So we're going to look back on kind of how they got to this point where the bench was poorly constructed to the point that it hurt the team. I don't know if you would say it cost them a finals, but it was definitely a factor. I'll say that. I want to start with the draft classes that they've had over the last 4 years or so. And it's tough to really be too hard on Bob Myers about the fact that, you know, he hasn't been able to nail late picks in the first round, whether it's 28th or 30th, a couple of 38th picks, which he did okay on. But this team needed contributors, needed him to find contributors with those picks. And the thing is, he didn't really. And, you know, I say Bob Myers because he's the GM, and similar to him saying you can blame him for KD's injury, it's just, it's easier to blame the guy up top than all the scouts and figure out who all the scouts are and things like that. I'm going to start with Damian Jones back in 2016. Actually, you know what? Let me start with Kevon Looney in 2015. because he deserves credit for Kevon Looney. Even though he didn't really contribute his first 2 years, that third year we started to see glimpses. You guys remember that Washington Wizards game where he had a monster fourth? I think he had like 10 points in the fourth quarter when the Dubs were down by like 10. A huge comeback. It was awesome. I think the game was Draymond got kicked out. I think it was the game where Draymond and Bradley Beal got into a wrestling match, and Draymond got booted from the game, and Kevon Looney was coming in unproven, and when he had played, he hadn't played well, and I think I even tweeted out, like, why is Jordan Bell inactive? This was during the Jordan Bell love affair we all had in his rookie season, and why is Jordan Bell inactive? Would be nice to have him active, and then Kevon Looney comes out and kills it. So whether it was injuries or whatever, Bob Myers found someone in Kevon Looney. He deserves credit for that, which is also a reason why I try and preach patience with some of these draft picks. Like, I'm contradicting myself here, you know, not finding an immediate contributor at 28, 30, wherever they've been picking isn't out of the ordinary, but the problem is they need contributors with those picks and they haven't been able to find them. And on top of that, they've been kind of boisterous about the fact that they think they can find them and just haven't really been able to. Kevon Looney, by the way, pretty much two lost years in his first 2 years in the NBA. So eventually he became a huge part of this team and still is a huge part of this team moving forward. But initially, you didn't get anything out of him. So now let's move on to the 2016 draft where they take Damian Jones at 30. And if anyone's listened to Locked On Warriors before and heard me talk about Damian Jones, I am a huge Damian Jones apologist. I won't say I still believe in him. I hope he can turn into something. I understand why there are people in the Warriors organization that still love him and still think that he's got a huge upside, because the upside is there, and that's part of why I'm so apologetic when it comes to him. When you look at the size, the wingspan, the athleticism, the silky jumper that he's got, he's got all the tools physically. Maybe mentally and aggressiveness, etc., not there, and who knows if he'll ever get there. We'll see what happens this year, and honestly, we'll see if he's on the team this year. That we'll talk about much later in the week, or not much later, probably tomorrow, actually, but Damian Jones has been a miss so far. First 2 years, he spent all of them in the G League. Year three, he's getting the start because DeMarcus Cousins is out, and not great. But again, that's something that also hurts the Warriors in this case, is because of where they've been as a pretty much finals or bust team every single year, championship or bust, where every roster spot, every game is so important. It's hard to develop players when you can't really play them that much. When they're bad play, you can't really stomach, because you know it's more about getting, you have to advance, you have to play well. You can't stomach poor play for too long. So they took him at 30, and we all know it hasn't really worked out yet. And they took him at 30 over Zubac and Malcolm Brogdon. And now you can say that that's hindsight. Sure, totally. But the bottom line is, Bob Myers gets paid to be right about this stuff. I don't. And those are two picks that, you know, would have been pretty nice for the Warriors to have over Damian Jones. And you guys know me. I love Damian Jones. Huge apologist when it comes to him. But Zubac would be better. Malcolm Brogdon. Imagine Malcolm Brogdon on this team. He would have been perfect fit. But they missed out on him. They ended up taking Pat McCaw at 38, which worked out okay. That's the thing. If you can get anything out of a second rounder, we're pretty excited about that. Were there better picks out there? There were a couple, but none too crazy. None, not huge misses when it comes to Pat McCaw. The problem with Pat McCaw is we know how he handled, you know, his upcoming third year as restricted free agency with the Warriors. Now, he couldn't see that coming. Maybe he could have figured out a way to fix it, but he didn't. Pat McCaw on the Raptors and just won his third championship, which is pretty weird. In 2017, this one is tough. This is the tougher one. And again, we'll have to wait and see what happens with Jordan Bell this offseason and if he can, you know, get out of Steve Kerr's doghouse, so to speak, and develop more. But they ended up picking Jordan Bell, buying that 38th pick from the Chicago Bulls. And they ended up selecting Jordan Bell over guys like Thomas Bryant, Dylan Brooks, Sterling Brown, and Monte Morris, all who, you know, I personally would take over Jordan Bell at this moment. And again, hindsight, but also it's Bob Myers' job to be right about this stuff and not quite. But like I said, we'll have to wait and see what happens with Jordan Bell. And then obviously this year, this last year in 2018, they took Jacob Evans, who, like I've mentioned, it's not getting anything out of a guy you take in the late first round with the 28th overall pick isn't crazy. That's not so out of the ordinary. It's probably pretty ordinary when it comes to, you know, a late first round pick. But the bottom line is they were so boisterous and vocal about the fact that they were going to find someone to contribute immediately. And when it comes to Jacob Evans, they didn't. Now, we'll see what happens with him moving forward. Like I said, maybe all of these guys develop this upcoming year, all look like great picks, and all contribute to more championships. But at the moment, it was a detriment to this team this last season, and part of why they didn't win the NBA Finals this year. Obviously, the bigger part was the injuries. But still, the fact they couldn't get anything out of these guys was a contributor. Going to take a break, come back, continue this conversation. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors. But first, today's show is brought to you by Grip 6, ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap, and it's a great Father's Day gift, which not only did you guys get your father's Untuckit shirts, you got them Grip 6 belts. So good on you. And not only that, I'm sure you enjoyed that special offer for you at grip6.com/LOCKE. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's going on? Just went over some of the misses in the draft that the Warriors have had over the years that contributed to a depleted bench and a loss in the NBA Finals to the Toronto Raptors. And maybe it's a little tough on Bob Myers, but that's just how it goes. You're the GM. In the same way he said you can blame me for KD's injury, you know, he gets blamed for poor roster construction, I'll put it that way. And there were some things that might have been out of his control, but I don't know. So starting with this season, I went over the draft for the last couple of years, but starting at the beginning of this year, we'll start with this year's draft, 2018 draft, excuse me, where he decided to pick Jacob Evans. There were a couple of guys who have contributed more. Maybe Jacob Evans ends up being better than those guys. But, you know, Hamidou Diallo, Rodions Kurucs, a couple guys who have contributed to their teams immediately who got picked after Jacob Evans. Whatever. The Pat McCaw situation. Now, maybe there was absolutely nothing he could do to solve it. But it was ugly. It was bad. It was stupid on McCaw's part. I mean, look, I know he just won another NBA championship, but as far as his role, his money, his playing time, all these things were going to be better with the Warriors. He made a bad decision, wet the bed, so to speak, and he mentioned that in interviews during the finals. He said if he was in his current mind frame now when it all happened, he would have probably just signed and come back with the Warriors. But the bottom line is he didn't. Was there more that could be done to fix the situation? I really don't know, but maybe. And again, look, he wouldn't have been a 20-point scorer or anything, but he was going to be a playable wing, which the Warriors needed badly and just did not have. So I don't know. They didn't end up being able to fix it. I don't know if it was fixable, but that also contributed to a depleted bench. The center position overall was bad. Deciding to spend the mid-level on DeMarcus Cousins, I know it sounded great. I know it looked great. And look, I was excited about it too. And look, here's the other thing. People saying, oh, they should have spent that on a wing. I don't believe there was a wing out there to spend that money on. I know someone said, oh, Wayne Ellington. We disagree on whether Wayne Ellington is worth that tax mid-level or if it would have been that big of a difference. Where I'll listen to an argument is that they should have spent that money on a different center, namely Brook Lopez. And this isn't hindsight, because I said before last season started that I thought Brook Lopez would be their starting center. I had no idea he was going to be the three-point shooter that he is. I just thought finishing up his time with the Lakers, he would have been an affordable center for the Warriors to get, played the entire season. I think the Warriors and me personally, and I think fans also overlook the fact how hard it is to come back from the Achilles tear and play well. So DeMarcus Cousins, and it's not his fault. As far as we know, he worked his ass off to get back and try and get to 100%, but it doesn't work like that. You don't all of a sudden come back and you're immediately the player you were before. This next season, maybe we do see the all-star level DeMarcus Cousins. This season, we didn't see it, and I think we overestimated what he would be coming back. Very little progress from Jordan Bell and Damian Jones. That hurt. And on top of that, they exercised Damian Jones' fourth-year option at the end of October, which locks him into $2 million this year. So it also limited their flexibility. And part of the reason why they did it is because they didn't exercise Looney's fourth-year option and almost lost him. And we see how important Looney is to this team, etc. They were just recalibrating. Like how we'll see them be incredibly careful with injuries moving forward. They did with Damian Jones' fourth-year option what they didn't do with Kevon Looney's. So the center position was bad. And again, I understand why they did it, but it's not my job to evaluate these things. It's Bob Myers, and it looks like the evaluation missed. The decline of Sean Livingston definitely hurt, but that's what happens when you get to be his age and have the injury history that he has. As you all know, he's one of my favorites. Every title they win, every good thing that happens with the Warriors, I always say I'm the happiest for him. And it's just too bad that, you know, he's declining at this rate. And that's where the loss of McCaw comes in as well, because he would have taken over that spot probably at some point this year, but definitely next year. The inconsistent role for Quinn Cook throughout the entire season, and then when you have injuries in the playoffs, you're needing him on the biggest stage. I thought Quinn should have had a bigger role the entire year. This is probably more on Steve Kerr than Bob Myers. I thought Quinn should have been an every-night player, in the rotation every single night. You can use his spacing, especially considering this team had no shooting behind Steph, Clay, and KD. But the fact is, he had a ton of DNPs. He would get a couple games here, sit for a couple games. And then you get to the playoffs, you get to the finals, you get to the conference finals, and you're needing a guy who you've barely played to step up and contribute. So I think that is a failure on the coaching staff. I think Quinn will be back, and I think he'll have a bigger role next year, which he probably should have had this year. And one of the last tough parts is, you know, Jonas Jerebko, Alphonso McKinney, both started out hot and then declined or came back to earth, to whatever they normally are, what have you. So those are a lot of reasons as to why the bench struggled and why they weren't able to get it together for the finals. You're asking a lot from a lot of players that have underperformed and haven't really had the opportunities to be ready to play in big moments, but it is what it is. There's my cliche for the day. A couple other things in free agency that they could have done and didn't do that would have helped. Rashawn Holmes, center formerly of the Sixers and played for the Suns this year. I'm a big fan of his. He was traded by the Sixers for cash for about $1 million. I don't know if the trade was there for the Warriors to actually make, but assuming that they could have, that would have been much better than, you know, rolling with Jordan Bell and Damian Jones. But again, I understand why they did it. I'm just pointing out all the things that they could have done that would have helped the team more. Nerlens Noel is another player that they could have had for minimum money who I think would have been a better fit. And depending on how you feel about the cousin situation, giving him the MLE. The only two players that I found that the Warriors could have had for the mid-level or for part of it were Wayne Ellington and Mike Scott. Now, it's up to you to decide whether that's a better option than DeMarcus Cousins. Maybe the idea of full seasons and full playoff runs with those guys is better. But I, you know, kind of splitting hairs here. Just looking at everything that kind of went wrong for the Warriors, basically. And you can also look at a guy like Pat Connaughton, who was a free agent for well into free agency. A guy, especially when you consider that you didn't know what was going on with Pat McCaw, you didn't know how Sean Livingston was going to be playing, could have been a nice backup. Austin Rivers, once he gets bought out, you know, Warriors don't get him. I don't know how you feel about Austin Rivers. I'm up in the air, but he could have helped. And that's how, at least for me, that's how bad the situation was with the Warriors' depth in their bench. And then, of course, the buyouts. You know, guys like Wesley Matthews and Wayne Ellington even were bought out, and the Warriors couldn't get either one of them. So a lot of misses, but at the same time, I mentioned it, even with all these misses and this poor roster construction, if the Warriors are healthy, if Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson don't get hurt, you're probably looking at a three-peat. But the bottom line is they did get hurt. You did have to rely on the bench, and the bench wasn't good enough. So anyways, going to take a break, come back. I want to talk about the massive trade that happened in the NBA this weekend. Anthony Davis is now officially a Los Angeles Laker. Yeah, it's pretty gross, but we are going to talk about that. But first, today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just went over basically all the things that went wrong for the Warriors, at least as far as roster construction was concerned. Obviously, the main things that went wrong were injuries, but there were a lot of misses as far as the bench and the rest of the roster was concerned. Outside of those four All-Stars and Andre Iguodala and Kevon Looney, a lot of problems on the roster past them. And we got some good topics coming up this week, some good episodes. Tomorrow we're going to do what the Warriors need to do moving forward as far as how they're going to build this roster up for next season. And then we're going to do a lot of draft talk as well. Draft is on Thursday. Warriors have the 28th overall pick. I wouldn't be surprised if they bought a second rounder as well. They also have the 58th overall pick, which is also a second rounder, but wouldn't be surprised if they buy into the earlier part of the second round. So a lot of good stuff coming up this week. One thing I want to get to, though, is the massive trade that hit the NBA the other day. Anthony Davis is now officially a Laker, and the Pelicans are one of the most interesting teams in the NBA, man. Shout out David Griffin. So the official trade, and there's a lot of moving parts here, and I do my best to understand the CBA and what's going on in the NBA and how the moving pieces matter, etc. This one is kind of confusing, though. So let's go to the easy part. The Lakers get Anthony Davis, one of the best players in the game, 26-year-old, great future, yada, yada, yada. The Pelicans get Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. Solid haul. We'll talk about them in a second. They also get a 2019 unprotected first-round pick, which is number 4, coming up on Thursday. Wouldn't be surprised if they move that to try and pick up even more future assets, especially considering how some people feel about this draft. Again, I hate saying it's a good draft or bad draft before the fact, because we have no idea what guys are going to develop into, but there are people who think this isn't a great draft. So that 2019 unprotected pick, it's number 4. 2021 is protected, where if it falls between 8 and 30, it'll be unprotected in 2022. So basically, if it's top 8 pick, the Pelicans get it. If not, it's unprotected the very next year. 2023, they have the right to swap picks, and that will be either the first or second year that LeBron isn't with the team because he has a player option on his fourth year. 2024, unprotected pick with the right to defer to 2025. So this is a massive haul for the Pelicans. 2022, most likely going to be the double draft where high school players are eligible to be drafted as well. Basically, the Pelicans control the Lakers draft for about the next 6 years. And I know people make the comparison to the Brooklyn Celtics trade. The major difference is Brooklyn got a bunch of old guys for their draft haul, where in this, the Lakers get one of the best players in the league. So I don't want to judge it, but man, they had to give up a lot to get Anthony Davis. And I'll say this, because I mentioned it before, a team like the Lakers, they can turn it around on the court with another major trade before they got Anthony Davis, basically speaking about Anthony Davis, because you're teaming him up with LeBron. That's going to be a good team next year. But that still doesn't make me confident in their front office or anything going on around the team. The front office, I mean, the fact that they did this trade when they were basically bidding against nobody, I kind of have less confidence in them. They gave up so much. Now, you can make the argument, look, you have the chance to get Anthony Davis, you do whatever you need to. And they were desperate. The Lakers were absolutely desperate, and good job by David Griffin leveraging their desperation to get the haul that he did. But, you know, Frank Vogel's still their coach. Rob Pelinka's still their GM. And to me, the meme team that they signed last year now looks even worse because of the way the CBA is put together. Since guys like Rondo, JaVale, Stevenson, Beasley got traded, KCP, they actually have, early bird rights, something like that. But with Rondo, Stevenson, and JaVale, they have non-bird rights, which means they'd be able to re-sign them at a 20% raise while going over the luxury tax. That money is not going to be able to be replaced. So let's say they had actually signed useful players with that money. Let's say Stevenson, he signed for 4 point something. You know, off the top of my head, Wayne Ellington signed for 4 point something. They're not going to bring back Lance Stevenson, but they could have brought back Wayne Ellington if that's who they had used the money on. You see what I'm saying? If they had actually spent that 3.5 or whatever Beasley was making to pay for Brook Lopez, they could bring Brook Lopez back while going over the tax. It's kind of convoluted CBA stuff, but bottom line, those moves they made last year are just as bad. And even though they have gotten Anthony Davis, it's still a mess everywhere else in the organization. They're starting five right now because they actually only have five players under contract right now, are Jamario Jones, Kyle Kuzma, Moritz Wagner, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. So they still have a ton of work to do. Now, as far as the players go for New Orleans, Lonzo Ball, I like his game. He's been hurt a lot. Brandon Ingram, love his game, love his length, his size, all that stuff. We know the situation with the blood clots. Hopefully it's nothing moving forward, but it's a risk. Josh Hart, damn good role player. I would have tried to get Wagner in there or Kuzma or whatever, but bottom line, with the draft haul you got, you can't be too picky. Now, the reason I bring all this up for the Warriors is a team like the Lakers is an attractive spot for free agents, especially guys that will take less money to go play there. The Warriors, with the injuries, and now with the Lakers being a much more attractive destination, might miss out on some guys who are willing to take less money to go play in a situation where they might win a ring, because that's probably not going to be the Warriors this year. We'll see. But that's kind of how it affects the Warriors and just another really good team in the Western Conference. But one thing that I do know for sure, Pelicans are going to be a damn fun League Pass team. I'm going to be locked in on them. Zion, Lonzo, who'd they get? Hart, Ingram, Justin, or Drew Holiday. That's going to be fun. They were already up there with Zion Williamson. You had these other young pieces. I'm in. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode. We'll be doing a look ahead on free agency and the draft. A lot of fun stuff coming up this week with the draft in a couple days. So be sure to come back to Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're looking for Locked On Warriors, you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, everywhere you normally go get your podcast. Like, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. Tell your smart device to play Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.